This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the much anticipated interview takes place last evening. It was okay, in my view. Nothing remarkable. I didn't expect that there was going to be a lot of juice provided by either the VP or the governor. And so they did not exceed my expectations. And in fact, they probably were spot on because they said much about nothing, quite frankly. And Dana Bash really, I don't think, pushed the issues and didn't seem to be prepared with follow-up facts to some of the answers that were being provided by these two that were well-known, well-publicized. They should have anticipated what their answers were going to be. But it was just kind of interesting right out of the box. You couldn't have had a more straightforward question, you know, talking about what would you do on day one in the White House? And the vice president went off on day one, and I'll just read it. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I will tell you first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. When I look at the aspirations, the goals, and the ambitions of the American people, I think the people are ready for a new way forward in a way that generations of Americans have been fueled by hope and by optimism. I think, sadly, in the last decade, we have had in the former president someone who has really been pushing an agenda and an environment that is about diminishing the character and the strength of who we are as Americans, really dividing our nation, and I think people are ready to turn the page on that. So what does that mean that she's doing on day one? She's going to save the middle class on day one by looking at their aspirations, their goals, and their ambitions? She doesn't know that already? She's been in office for almost 4 years. You know, when we think about this, it's amazing how we embrace Joe Biden when there's a positive outcome and we separate ourselves when it's a negative outcome. We are in the game of formulating policy when it works to their advantage. When they don't have the appropriate answer, we separate ourselves from being a policymaker under the Biden-Harris administration. So this is day one. I guess she's going to think about how she will support and strengthen the middle class. She had actually gone on to say that she has given some examples already of what that is going to be, implementing her plan for what she calls an opportunity economy. I'm a little bit at a loss as to what that is and what she's actually talking about, but it was interesting nonetheless. What was even more interesting than that is when she was confronted with the flip-flopping on any number of issues. She came out in 2019, said she was opposed to fracking. Now she's not opposed to fracking. She came out in 2019 and said, illegal migrant detention centers, they're out. And we need to decriminalize the border. And therefore, there should not be criminal sanctions for those that cross the border. And you know, and this whole thing has to be reformulated at the border. And now she's saying, because of her work as a prosecutor in a border state of California as the AG, that she dealt with transnational gangs, human trafficking, and all of that, all of which has been very alive and well and robust during the first 3.5 years of this administration. But yet, crickets, nothing. She's talked about some improvements that have been made relative to the migration at the border. But what she doesn't say is that basically they gave them more opportunities to come into this country in a way that would be more receptive to them, and they wouldn't have to cross between the legal ways to come into this country at the border gates. Didn't talk about it at all. We've talked about it on your show. The most recent CHNV policy, flying people in from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela, you know, other policies as well, where you can fill out on an app and they give you a number and you can just go to the port of entry and come into the country. No problem. So, I mean, they did a great job of taking whatever the illegal crossings were and swimming across the Rio Grande and just moving it to the port of entry, where no one can get a video of anything that's going on there, because it's not out of the ordinary to have lines that are miles long going back and forth across the border, the ports of entry. That's what they did, quite frankly. I mean, that's pretty much all they did. And it's interesting that while all of this is going on, the Biden-Harris administration just announced yesterday, I believe, or on the 28th, 2 days ago, that they're going to hand out another $380 million through FEMA Shelter and Services Program to communities across the country that are providing shelter, care, and other services to illegal migrants and other foreign nationals that have recently been released from federal custody. And this is what the Department of Homeland Security is saying, that this is what they're doing, verbatim. And yet they're talking about the improvements that they're being, that are being made. And the reason they're doing this now is that in the last days of this election process, they're trying to shut the Democrat governors and mayors up because their communities are boiling over. They're frustrated. They're angry. And they're trying to placate this and throwing money out there because, in many respects, some of them are going broke. They don't have the money to continue to do this. They're closing shelters. These folks are ending up back out on the streets. They're walking in neighborhoods. You've seen the stories. You see the videos. It is a mess. And yet, during the course of this interview, you would swear that all good's on the southern front. No big issue at all. Interestingly, she says, my policy positions have changed, but not my value. So let's just talk about climate change. Let's just talk about fracking. She's now says that she supports fracking, right? What we've heard for years from the climate activists and a number of the progressives in the Democratic Party, and both embrace in embracing a lot of the green agenda, is that all of the negative things about fracking and what it causes to our climate. Last night, she said, because her values have not changed, she still embraces the climate agenda of her party, that she now believes that they can be successful in the implementation of that climate agenda and fracking can still go on. So now we've embraced the fossil fuel industry, I'm assuming, because if fracking's good, I got to imagine drilling's good, right? Natural gas production, that would be good. LNG would be good. Because all of this can go on because her value system dictates that she still embraces this climate agenda. But how does this work out graphically? So on the one hand, we're spending money to improve the climate in whatever ways, I guess, available, in stimulating this or stimulating that and providing incentives for solar, for wind, for alternative energy sources. And we are quantifying the gains that we are making in the emission releases and the gas releases in the climate. And all of this other stuff on the fossil fuel industry that they say is bad, 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 and they've quantified how bad it is for so many years. How does that work? We can do all of this. We've made the gains over here, but doesn't that decrease and diminish the gains that are being made? Right? Doesn't that make sense? And in the end, have we figured out mathematically, or is there a quantifiable number as to where we end up at the end of every 5-year, 10-year period of doing all these activities that they've been for years talking about has to be eliminated in order to be able to reach these goals that we've set, right? And that we hope to achieve. Now, all of this can happen at the same time. Strange. Especially in light of the backdrop that so many of these folks have talked about, how the end of the world was coming our way. We were going to lose everything. And it's amazing how all of that goes away and no one challenges these folks to provide a quantification of what this means. We can embrace fossil fuels still, moving forward, still do the climate thing, and that will not disrupt their progressive ideology, their ideology around climate at all. And we just wave that magic wand. Since Biden got out of the race, Kamala gets in the race, and it's all good now. It's amazing. I am really shocked and surprised that Joe Biden didn't embrace Kamala Harris in a much bigger way, because this wand that she holds, where all of this can happen at the same time, right? Where Republicans have been saying all along that we can do all of the above, we can do all of these things at the same time. The opponents have said that's not going to work, you're wrong, you're anti-climate, you're this. In the stroke, in the wave of a wand, the whole thing has shifted and changed. And nobody asks a question. No one asks a follow-up question. How does this work? This runs completely contrary to everything you have embraced. Not to mention the fact that you were the author of some of these very provisions that are in place as it relates to the climate agenda that has all kinds of language that runs contrary to what you're saying today. And yet no one says anything about it and follows it up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting, too, Daniel Dale, you've seen him on CNN, right? He's the fact-checking guy. the black rimmed glasses, short hair. So he fact-checked what Kamala Harris said about her position on fracking. And he says the following. He says, there is no question that what she said in 2019, and this is the quote, and he provides it. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania. Do you still ban fracking? That's the question from Bash to Harris. All right. And Harris says no. And I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020 that I would not ban fracking as vice president. I did not ban fracking as the vice president. And as president, I will not ban fracking. Well, you can't ban fracking as the vice president. So I don't know why you're even throwing out that comment. So the fact checked is basically this, is that he says that in same thing in 2019, she said she took the position in December of 2019 that she was against fracking. Ultimately, in a debate with Mike Pence, what she did was she was speaking on behalf of Joe Biden and shared what Joe Biden's stance was on the issue, but never, ever articulated where she was on the issue. Because in 2019, when she was running against Joe Biden, who was then a racist, right, and called him out for being that as well, he also was not, the person that he needed to be as it related to climate. And that's when she said at a climate function that she is absolutely, let me be clear about this, I am opposed or I favor a ban on fracking. But understand, her value system now is the same. So her value system about climate and things that have to happen is, I would assume, is against fracking. Her policy, though, now, conveniently, is that she is not. And a lot of people are scratching their heads trying to figure out how they're going to square this up. And I don't know that they can. I mean, it's some really good wordsmithing at its best because they don't have really an appropriate answer to the question. Not too terribly different than Tim Walz on his mischaracterization and his out-and-out lies about what he's accomplished, whether he was Teacher of the Year in Minnesota, whether he got the Chamber of Commerce Award of the Year in Nebraska, or what actually was the breadth and depth of his military service. Because he doesn't answer the question at all either. Basically, he says he spent 25 years in the Army and he hunts. He's proud of his record. You know, he said he was in the military for 24 years, so wearing the uniform. We thank him for saying. But why would you say what you said about, you know, the guns utilized in war that you carried in war when it didn't happen? He just went around and said, my record speaks for itself. I think people are coming to get to know me. I speak like they do. I speak candidly. And then he offered the excuse. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and I speak especially passionately about our children being shot in schools and around guns. So I think people know me. They know who I am. They know where my heart is. And again, my record has been out there for over 40 years to speak for itself. So this is a huge caution for you, me, and everyone else when we're evaluating what's actually going on with Tim Walz. If he is passionate about something, passionate about a topic, you may want to look at what he's saying a little jaded, because he wears his emotions on his sleeves. Now, I don't know about you. I've been to a lot of leadership classes. This is not a great quality or characteristic of a good leader. You're not wearing your emotions on your sleeves. And there's an appropriate way to articulate something that you feel passionately about in order to motivate those around you. So I guess he was giving us a warning. If he's emotional about this or passionate about it, look out. he's liable to say anything. And we just have to accept the excuse that he's passionate about it. And then when the one time that Dana Bash really did follow up and push on this individual about this answer, he pointed out that his wife is an English teacher and his grammar is not always correct. You have got to be kidding me. Much to do about nothing. We did not learn a whole lot last evening, other than really one definitive fact that was revealed was that she got a call from the president on a Sunday where he said to her that he was no longer running. We'll be right back. We're going to visit with Jennifer Van Ranken, Jefferson Parish at-large council member, on the bus advertising controversy. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.